We may have the fiscal.
Well, I got two committees this evening.
Or you can just suspend the rules.
Okay.
Right now, I only have one.
What happened to Ezra?
Going to open the Committee on Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Rural Communities.
And go with wine.
It's 8:07. Welcome, audience. Welcome, committee members.
Government bureaucracy committees.
So.
I just noticed today.
What's that? Just the meeting so far. So we're going to carry over the work session on House Bill 3089 to the evening meeting. Carry over the work session on House Bill 2228 to the evening meeting. Still waiting for our amendments. And I'm going to open a work session on, carry over a work session on House Bill 3072 to our evening meeting. We're still waiting for amendments. Still waiting for the fiscal. And then we have work we can do now. Open a work session on House Bill 2219. Cause this is the landowner preference program. We had lots of conversation around this program, and the relevant parties eventually came to the conclusion that for now the best approach is to adopt an amendment that renews the sunset and see if at some level we can get our hunting friends and our landowning friends in agreement on what changes should be made to the program. That is represented in the Dash 1 amendments. And
are you in a work session?
Let me open a work session. Oh, I did.
You already did.
Yeah, because we already had the public hearing.
Want me to move?
Is there any farm, anybody need to come up and talk about how that's not true? He's shaking his. All right.
Chair, one question.
Yes.
The ones were held over till tonight.
What we're doing is extending it under the same acreages, same percentages. Nothing's changed.
Correct.
Okay. Except the sunset. 2014, right?
So the Dash 1 amendments just take current law and extend it out for 4 more years, and we'll ask the groups to work through the commission and try and get to a consensus on how to change the program.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Wingard.
I move the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2219.
Describing it. Representative Wingard moves the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2219. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, amendments are adopted.
Okay.
One moment. Now, we do not have our fiscal.
No fiscal.
We do.
Oh,
we just got it. Yes.
Then no fiscal?
No fiscal.
Mr. Chair.
All right. Yes, Representative Wingard.
I would move that we move House Bill 2219 to the floor with a due pass, as amended.
Okay. Representative Wingard moves House Bill 2219 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Huh? Any discussion? Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a great program, and I think there are ways that we can enhance it, and especially with some of the damage that's being caused. I do understand how farmers have some real issues, and you look at what's happening with our geese populations, our elk populations, and so on. I think it's a conversation that needs to continue. I think this is the best solution for right now, and hopefully we'll get to a point where we can do some other things, and also keep access to hunters to some of these places that we worry that when we give them the benefit of doing this, that they'll close their places. And I would really hope that we can keep a coordination between the hunters and the farmers.
Thank you. Further discussion? Not? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Byer?
Aye.
Representative Killian?
Aye.
Representative Rowland?
Aye.
Representative
Schaffler? Aye.
Representative Wingard?
Aye.
Vice Chair Van
Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Chair Klein?
Aye. Motion passes and bill sent to the floor. Any objection to the consent calendar for this one? Seeing none, replace the bill on the consent calendar. And open a work session on House Bill 3298. We've got a Dash 1 amendment that both Metro and Farm Bureau signed off on. I don't think we need anybody on it either.
What's that?
I'll take the Dash 1 amendment motion, Representative Krieger.
Where are we at? You want the Dash 1 amendment? Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think Representative Krieger's
going. Oh, you
Mr. Chair. I move the dash one amendments dated 4/23/09 into House Bill 3298.
Representative Krieger moves the dash one amendments be adopted dated, is it 4, is that right?
Yep.
4/23/09. Any discussion? Any objection? Amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3298 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 3298 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Madam Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Byers?
Aye.
Representative
Hillary? Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Shopley?
Aye.
Representative Winger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Van Ormen?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Chair Clark?
Aye.
Bill passes, sent to the floor, due pass recommendation. Consent calendar. Placed on the consent calendar. Going to open a work session on House Bill 2223. Representative Krieger, would you like to tell us about how you've been doing over there in the work group?
Mr. Chair, as directed by you, we did put a work group together. That was Northwest Steelhead, Oregon Anglers, NRA, Oregon Hunters, Terry Thompson from the commercial fish side on the coast, Buckmaster from the Columbia River, and a few others. And, of course, the department was in there, and State Police, Captain Marquis. And then they had a subgroup that dealt specifically with the commercial fees that had to do with the ad valorem tax. And you'll see in the bill where they have worked that out to a point. I believe it's 225 instead of the 3.15 as far as the cents per on that. Most of the other fees were raised somewhat. There was a few reductions and some benefits given to children. And I would hope we give the department a little bit of time to go through some of those changes. I don't think many people have saw the amendments till this morning. And I think that we were really concerned when the amount of money that came out of the budget, somewhere around $3 million out of the agency's budget, and if we're looking at a 30% cut, a lot of the things we were concerned about, enforcement, hatcheries, the issues around having biologists that are going to be monitoring the both commercial and ESA issues on the Columbia, that we need to have them in place. And so we wanted to make sure they had the funds to do that. When the department comes up and they do have some conversation regarding those reductions, I do have a question about whether or not in the Ways and Means process, there's some talk about a 15% cut, and if that happens, maybe where they might use the extra funds they might have. There was also a letter that came out. I have a copy of it here. I don't know if they've got it for everybody, that basically said, in the event of the no fee increase, what would be the things we would lose? And then if you give the fee increase, what would we as a sportsman or Oregon's hunters and anglers be buying back? And I think that was real important because that's how we got the fee increase through in 2003, the hunters, the anglers. Everybody needed to know what it was those dollars were going to be used for, and that was a priority.
So are you asking the department to come up?
I would like to have them have a few minutes to go over a little of it and inform us. There's probably a few questions.
Okay. Is there any objection? Okay. Could the department please come forward? No, I got the plug again. I hope not. If it does, it'll wipe me out.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Vice Chair Van Ormen.
We can ask.
And Vice Chair Representative Krieger and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Roy Elker, Director for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. To my left, Mr. Kurt Melcher, Deputy Director for Fish and Wildlife Programs. On my right, Tom Rudiman, Deputy Director for Administration. And I know you're busy this morning. Just wanted to take a few minutes. I think the issue raised by Representative Krieger just now about what the fee increase gains for the state of Oregon, or what it doesn't if it didn't go through, is clarified in a memorandum from me to Representative Krieger dated April 22nd, which is being passed out to you right now. We also are passing out, based on the work group product, that's the amendment now, we're also passing out kind of the revised fee proposal based on the work group as to what the proposed fee would be in this newest amendment and what additional revenue that puts together. I'll just mention a couple issues, again, because of the time. A couple things, particularly on page one of the April 22nd memo. You'll see there in that list of fisheries issues and items that we tend to fund with this fee increase that all of those are important to protect and enhance current fisheries, both sport and commercial. The two, there's a couple positions there that the work group felt strongly about. First of all, the very bottom page, establish a dedicated estuary predation position to evaluate impact of cormorants and avian predation on salmon smolts. Department has kind of been working little by little on this for many years. Many of our fishing constituents and folks feel that it's a bigger problem than scientifically we've been able to get our hands around. One of the reasons we've been able to be successful on the sea lion issue at Bonneville Dam is that we have dedicated people working on that issue. And right now, as of right now, we don't have anybody in the department in the dedicated position to coordinate hazing efforts with all the volunteers who want to do those on the coast, to coordinate the research with the feds to allow us to go for some other ways of controlling cormorant populations if that proves to be what is needed. And so I think the work group felt that a position that would be dedicated to looking at that avian predation issue, very important for the department. The other one was a dedicated commercial crab manager. Dungeness crab is one of our highest and best-known fisheries products in the coast. We've kind of cobbled together for many years management of industry. The industry felt strongly that it's time for them to get a dedicated full-time manager for their fishery. They do pay a good share of the commercial fish funds, and so we have worked with them for that position. And that'll close my comments, Madam Vice Chair, and take any questions that we can help with.
Are there any questions? Yes, Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Roy, over the last 2-3 weeks, I've had conversations with Representative Roblin, almost every one of the groups that have to do with angling. And as we look at the predation, specifically cormorants, it's very, very alarming. And I don't think there's anything we could do. I mean, we're putting $40 million between the federal and state into hatcheries. We've got an 80 fish conservation plan. We've got a hatchery policy. We've got all these things in place. But if the thing, if we're losing both our wild and hatchery smolts before they get to the ocean from predation, and we've missed that, and so many of us have recognized it for a long time, and this is going to be an opportunity. So I want everybody to understand, to me, that's one of the most important things in your budget. I have talked to Chair Jensen, Co-Chair Jensen. I've had a conversation with Paul Siebert, and I have a person we're talking to, Vicki Walker, Senator Walker, regarding that issue, because I think there's nothing we need to make sure that person's in place. That investment is going to mean a lot to us in the future as far as making sure those investments in hatchery and the science over at the research hatchery actually is utilized in a way that we're not throwing a lot of money out there for no good.
Representative Roblin.
Thank you very much. I appreciate this work. I also agree with the issue on getting a person to work on our bird issue. And I guess the other thing I threw in, not just predation, but one study that was done on the Smith River a few years ago with regard to the E. coli, and everybody thought the runoff was going to cause from, and that E. coli was going to be that of cattle. It turned out that the majority of the E. coli after the RNA work was done by birds again. So I think we have developed situations by protecting some of the birds and mammals that it creates an imbalance. And I look at Reedsport and the little island that's just off the bridge to the right, and all the trees are now dead because of all the birds going to the bathroom there. And so they're all white and dying. And so they've been there for hundreds of years. They've been doing fine in our environment, but something changed in the environment, and that is the addition of the number of cormorants and other birds. And I think we have to realize that when we protect one species out of a whole group, it creates another whole problem that we have to deal with. And I know you don't have much control over that, but I think that the more studies that we can do, the more information we can gather about the impacts, the better it will be to have conversations with our federal partners in trying to figure out how to actually manage the wildlife that we have in the state. So I absolutely agree that we need to get that position.
Representative Krieger.
One last thing. Could you address law enforcement, because that still has been the number one thing for Oregon hunters, and you go out and you talk to people, that has always been near the top, and right behind that, of course, hatcheries.
Well, Representative, again, going to the April 22nd memo I prepared for you, if you top of page 2 lays out the enforcement issues as related to this bill. The additional monies allow us to increase commercial fish enforcement along the coast for funding for one additional OSP officer. Also provides some funding for additional at-sea commercial enforcement, either by vessel lease or additional positions. We're still yet to work out details. It also expands enforcement in Central Oregon, where that's been identified as a problem due to the fast-growing population over in that Bend, Redmond area, and mule deer poaching issues. So we're going to hopefully add 2 officers in Central Oregon. Details, so you could ask Captain Marquis to come forward. He's present today. Now, the other thing is that there's been considerable discussion at what level and at what cuts for general funds and how that will affect the Fish and Wildlife Division, Oregon State Police. We still have yet to see how that works and how many officers they stand to lose, because the Fish and Wildlife Division will be taking significant cuts based on general fund reduction. And so hopefully as we get into Ways and Means, we will work some of those issues and hopefully provide some backfill for some of those positions that will be lost as a result of cuts in lottery fund, general fund. The only other issue I wanted to point out on the record, Vice Chair Krieger, is that the price of a daily fishing license, which is important to the tourism industry here in Oregon, particularly the charter boats and otherwise, it's right now it's at $16.75. That was how it was originally set in the bill. I think we've had some further discussions about that. We get down to Ways and Means, we might see that probably come down, the result of discussions between ourselves, charter boat operators and others, and that's fine. We're willing to kind of work with them to get to a good cost for them, to make sure that they have lots of folks down there fishing on their boats this year on the coast, especially with the great coho runs we expect. Expect to be a great year fishing on the coast for the charter boat operators and sport fishermen.
Any other questions?
Well,
Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks for being here. This fee increase list, to me, is a quick summary of how tough your job is, and it kind of just shows you the responsibility that you have. And so I want to be sure you understand that I appreciate that. I also appreciate very much you working with Representative Krieger, and I respect his experience on this matter. I want to focus, as you may guess, on page 5. And I can't go any further without also saying what terrific help Representative Schaffler has been as well, because he's sitting next to me. On the cervid licenses, I got a couple of questions. We've got 2 discontinued categories and 3 new ones. Talk a little bit about that, and then just say a little bit about what kind of percentage increase that means to cervid ranchers. Please.
You can't give a percentage.
Vice Chairs, Representative Gilliam, I'm going to ask Ron Anglin, our wildlife chief, who spent quite a bit of time working with cervid industry and looking at the cost of the program, to come up with that. Let me ask Ron to come forward and talk to that.
Vice Chair Van Orman, members of the committee, for the record, Ron Anglin, Wildlife Division Administrator. When we first went through the schedule of fees, what we were looking at was, and what we'd been requested to prepare, was a cost recovery for the program. And in our original recommendation, the cost recovery that that we had proposed was $800 for the Type 1 license and $1,000 for the Type, or $800 for the Type 2, $1,000 for the Type 1 license. And we recognized going into this that that was probably going to be a fairly substantial impact to a lot of people. Once we got over here to the building, we did hear concerns about that and were requested to come up with some alternative schedules. Basically, what this would do is probably pay for somewhere in the neighborhood of 35-40% of our actual costs of administering the service program. So with the changed fee schedule, it does not provide complete cost recovery, but it does provide a little easier fee base, if you will, for the different classes of service ranchers.
Follow-up, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Sorry.
The Chair is here. Clark Chem is here.
We're back.
Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, well, help me understand. We went from two 650 items for Type 1 and Type 2 to three items, 50, 300, and 500. I appreciate that you originally had thought about 800 or 1,000, and now we come down. But talk a little bit about from two to three. And again, what kind of an increase does that
Chair Clem, Representative Gilliam, what we were looking at was how can we break out these facilities in a way that they were either educational facilities or display facilities or were facilities that had just a few animals for personal satisfaction and enjoyment. Typically, those types of facilities don't have a huge financial burden for us or require much of a workload. So what we looked at then was, if we can separate those out and a reduced fee schedule for them that pretty much covers the cost of the permit and some minor staff work, then as you get into the larger facilities with more animals, workload goes up and coming up with a graduated scale for them. The percentage increase for each of those, I don't have that off the top of my head. I'd have to figure it out real quick. It is substantial, but as you can see, these fees have not been raised in a very, very, very long time and come nowhere close to covering the cost of administering the program.
Thank you for that answer. Another follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Follow-up.
I'm aware of the rub that this whole area often creates between our hunters and our servant ranchers, many of which are hunters as well. But would you be open to discussing transferring this? It seems to me, I think you know where I'm going, is that the Department of Agriculture does this for other livestock. And if this is causing a problem, and it's not a normal function of your department, why can't we get in a discussion about just transferring that to the Department of Ag? They already do this. Perhaps it could save money and also prevent the rub between the two groups. What do you think of that?
Chair Clem, Representative Gilliam, well, certainly that would be a major policy issue that would have to come from the Fish and Wildlife Commission rather than from the department. And that's kind of the short answer. But there has been other times during the last 20 years discussions about transferring it to ag. That would be very difficult, I think, for us here in Oregon, because when you weigh the liability, the stakes, when you look at these other states that have had diseases come in as a result of these operations or not, there's a lot of debate sometimes about particular situations. But I think overall, when you look at the risk to the billions of dollars generated by big game hunting in this state versus the issues of these 16 to 20 domestic deer and elk operators, I think there would be a lot of argument, particularly from the hunting public, that they would want us to be in charge of these operations. I know it's a policy issue. It would be probably something that the commission would have to decide before the department could take a real position on that, Representative. But I think that's about the best answer I give you today.
The other one I might give you as a Ways and Means member, if we move it into ag, they're still going to have fees the exact same amount because we don't have any money at all. We have no general fund to even do food safety right now for peanut recalls. And so we would have to assess a fee. and I can assure you that the hunters, if it weren't from their tags, would still be lobbying that their tax dollars shouldn't be going to use it to subsidize it either. That's the tricky scenario down at Ways and Means, I think.
Well, Mr. Chair, I appreciate that, and I will discontinue my line of questioning, but I do hope that in another cycle that hopefully will be better, we can discuss this as a policy issue. I acknowledge that the problems just don't go away, but I think there are some advantages to that, and that's probably a discussion for another day. And the last thing I would ask is, the part I don't understand is we started with this particular fee item in a Ways and Means bill, and now it's here, and I don't know why. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I just don't understand that. This was down in Ways and Means, if I'm not mistaken, or
we,
sub.
We have a public hearing in general on their budget, and I think you have to sort of assume for the purposes, since it's being heard before we get to this actual bill, because we've been working on it for a while, they hear what the proposal is and sort of assume it. Doesn't mean that's what's going to make it to them. So I don't think there's anything in your budget bill directly on this. They keep asking me, when's this bill coming, when's this bill coming? But I think it's been in this bill the whole time, hasn't it?
Yeah. Sir, has it?
It's in the bigger agency bill.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a good question. Let's get
for the
we can
discussion
here
with Representative Krieger.
Not that amount. Okay. But this line item.
Answer to that, is it's been an item with it, because it's a fee increase, so it's been in the fee bill consistently, hasn't it?
Yeah, so Chair Clem, the servant ranching fees are not in these statutes that we've brought you. So this dash 2 amendments to 2223 do not reference these servant ranching fees. They're basically administrative fees that are going through our Ways and Means process. We discussed those fees in the work group, in the Representative Krieger and Representative Schaffler's work group. And our handout here of all the fees, we wanted to show everything we're proposing, even though some of these are not
in this bill.
You're right.
Thank you.
Forgive me.
So that is, we did change.
Is this even going in this bill now?
No.
It's not in this bill.
It's not in this bill. That's what I told them earlier.
It's just on this list.
Now you can vote yes on a fee bill, but I don't think I'm going to get you, am I?
Not in this bill.
That's right. I am sorely tempted, Mr. Chair, because absent that line item, I just want to reiterate, Representative Krieger is like 99.99% right on all of this, and I respect it very much. I can't give him like full. But
this bill doesn't have this. Voting okay. for this does right. not raise the right. servant
right.
ranching
right.
fee.
That's and okay. the fish issues that he articulated very well while you're out of the room, which you're aware of,
yes.
I absolutely agree with. So I will stew for a moment.
Why don't you stew, yeah. Representative Roble and then Representative Schaffler.
Two things. One, you said you disagreed with him twice before. It's only been four bills. That's 50%. How'd you get to 99.99?
He should be in fiscal office, Mr. Chair.
No, man. my real question has to do with the servant. We didn't pass, and we haven't required double fencing for these servant ranches to this point, have we?
Chair Clem, Representative Roblin, you're correct. The commission did not adopt the double fencing standard. They felt that would be too onerous on the industry at this point without some kind of financial assistance to help do that, and decided at this point not to take it forward.
Because that, I mean, a follow up and just a comment, because that's the real big issue, I think, from a lot of the hunters' perspective. If we do get a disease on these, when you don't have double fencing, the other deer come up or elk and they rub noses and all of a sudden they pass the disease on. And so until we figure out a way to keep the two wildlife separated, I would have a hard time sending it to ag. I think the conversation is good, but until we can keep it contained in a way that it truly can be just agricultural and not have an impact on our native populations, it would be difficult. But I think the conversation that Representative Gilliam is talking about is a good one to have. But in that conversation, from my perspective, includes double fencing and some other kinds of things to make sure that they're kept safe.
Thank you. Yeah, I had the pleasure and benefit of being in one, at least one, I think two of the conversations of the work group over the fee structure there. This has been within the context of the conversation of this bill all along, but it was not specifically in the language. That being said, I mean, there's really good people that raise these animals
yep.
in confinement. I'm not convinced that we should allow them to do it because of the reasons stated about potential disease and whatnot. Now, that's a conversation for another day, but I'm not convinced we should even allow it. One disease breakout from one of these confined areas and decimates a herd, or God knows how many, we'll find out the hard way that we shouldn't have done it. That being said, too, $6.50 doesn't even buy you the gas to go over there to look at them. And I'm not sure there's any amount of any increase that folks will ever feel good about to do anything. So clearly something had to change, and it had to be a rather dramatic change in order to even get back a part of what we're spending. And I do not think the rest of the hunters and fishers or the taxpayers should have to pay for that. The people that we're inspecting who want to be in this business, who we maybe mistakenly allow to be in this business, should have to pay for those costs, or at least a far larger part of it than $6.50. So I don't think what's in here, in your chart right here, is unreasonable at all. So thank you.
Representative Van Orman.
Well, I do want to express my appreciation to the department for the information and the hard work, because I know it takes a lot of work to put all this together, so I do appreciate that. I also find myself, as a newbie, knowing that we are moving from a government based on taxation to a government by fiat, and fees are a necessary part of doing business. So I appreciate and know that in order to at least maintain, fee increases are necessary. So I just want you to know that I support what you're trying to do.
Further discussion? My final comments, there's no way when my vice chair does this much work I would be voting against him. Because he did it all for me, and I appreciate it sincerely. Yeah.
Thank you. Let's go.
Representative Fire?
Aye.
Representative Gilling?
No. Are we on the amendments?
Representative
Roblin? Aye. We doing the amendments, right?
Okay, not the amendments.
Oh,
I didn't even have a motion.
No, he didn't.
We're just discussing.
Yep.
You get another.
I'm
wondering,
get a second with that. I don't know if I'll give you a second vote.
You're going to get a second chance to rethink it. He gets to vote twice.
We were just checking on his vote. See.
We have no motion. We've got. Am I in a work session?
I'm just trying to help
committee
you out.
Equivalent
I,
of psych.
I wondered what I was voting on.
Psych. Are we even in a committee? What's everyone doing here?
Well, we're in a committee.
Right.
And this is the only time I have regretted the seating chart in this entire game.
I'm just thankful I don't have the gavel.
Let's try this again. I think I need a motion on amendments first.
Mr. Chair, I move to dash two amendments into House Bill 2223.
Representative Krieger moves to dash two amendments into House Bill 2223. Any discussion on these amendments? I guess they were just... These are the work group product amendments. Any objections? One? Okay, two?
Sure.
Representative,
I don't want him to be alone.
Right, yeah, we don't want to have him lonely. Representative
you.
Gilliam and Wingert object. If not, well, there are some, but the amendments are adopted anyway.
Mr. Chair, I'm...
I don't know how to say that.
House Bill 2223, as amended... to the Committee on Ways and Means without prior reference.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 223 as amended to amended to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation and be referred to the Joint Ways and Means Committee by prior reference. Any discussion on that? Representative Snowball. Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You don't have a script, but I just would point out it would be helpful if when you say the amendment passes, you didn't say the amendment passes anyway.
The problem is it says is there objection then? If not,
I'm just
the
saying.
Amendments are adopted. So I just I
a little
freelance.
Salt in the wound is all I'm saying. I Mr. Chair, I will I'm still speaking.
Are you?
It may not make any sense, but I am still speaking.
All right.
I out of a courtesy for mostly Representative Krieger and some for you, I will vote for this, and I will reserve the right to change my vote on the floor. Thank you.
Well, that's a good kind of you. I think we should just probably vote now, don't you?
Yes, now's the time.
Sorry, Representative Wingen.
I guess I'm going to be alone on this one, Representative. First of all, this is important work, and I respect the department and their efforts, and I certainly respect Representative Krieger's hard work in getting this all done, and I... There are important things in here. I'm extremely interested in getting at this avian issue and just predation in general, which I think is so critical. But based on the economic conditions, two things. One is based on the economic conditions, these slate of fee increases I cannot support in this session. And secondly, I'm not sure in the end they won't be somewhat counterproductive. I think as people are hurting and times are very, very tight, I'm not convinced that we won't lose people in many of these activities as a result of these fee increases. So for those two reasons, I will be a no vote.
And colleagues, I would remind you that this bill is going to Ways and Means. I've heard members there talk about their interest in reviewing our work. So keep an eye on this, you know, as it emerges. And I think everybody's got the right to change their mind if they want to. Either way, as it comes out of that committee. With that, any further discussion? All right. Now the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Fire?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative
Schaffler? Aye.
Representative
Krieger?
No.
Vice Chair Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Chair Klein?
Aye. Bill, motion passes. Bill sent to Ways and Means. 2929?
Yep.
And open a work session on House Bill 2929. Now, Peggy, you had a late entry on this. You didn't get to comment on it in the public hearing. Would you like to say your piece? Got an email yesterday. And just
particularly, but I will. Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. And I am not an expert on aggregate and sand and gravel removal. However, the bill caught the attention of the Curry County League and people who have been interested in the CHETCO for years. And I think the substance of the letter that you received and the issue that they're most concerned about, even including as I read the Dash 3s this morning, is the issue of the aggregate industry paying for the scientific work being done. And I think that's the concern, and we have this concern as we have talked about fees and increases in all kinds of places, is a balance between making sure that the state administers its laws fairly and equitably and does the law work, even as we're asking people to help pony up individually for some of these services. And so I think that's the concern that I heard from my constituency, and I have they are concerned that, in fact, each of these scientific studies be different for different rivers, because each river flows differently. In the CHETCO, it does not have any dams or other kinds of things. There has been a long history of that. I have a note from a member who says that a NOAA fisheries person said a couple of years ago that with the CHETCO, the stuff that they have checked at the end of the river is coming from the ocean, not coming downstream. So it's not the downstream aggregate that's piling up at the harbor. I don't know that for a fact. I am no scientist. But anyway, that's the main issue, is the fact that having an industry person pay for the scientific studies, or possibly paying for the scientific studies. We certainly want the scientific studies.
So I'm just thinking, you know, obviously the bill is ready to go for now, but we passed a bill recently that has to do with a similar concern about soil science, and it may be that at some point we could talk about that kind of language, you know, around this issue, where in this case it would be DOGAMI has a registry of folks who, you know, have the qualifications and are in good standing, and people know who is on that registry, and then the applicant can pick from that registry, but the department arranges sort of a neutral body of credentialed people that it's not perceived that it's either the neighbors or the applicant or the environmental group or whoever all bringing their own person to the table, but a member in good standing of an independent body. So maybe that's something to look at. It seemed to work in the soil science arena. Representative Roblin and the Shuffler.
And I agree. And I think one of the things I hope comes out of the Nearshore Institute, Research Institute that we had here a while back, is an understanding of what, when we do science at the state, what it should look like. And so my hope is that no matter who pays for the studies, if they're going to be over our waters, ways, or whatever, that the fees come in, the state actually can require that the way in which they collect the data, the actual data, all of that is open so that other scientists can review it and look at it. I mean, my issue is the best way to do great science is to make sure that the science, that the data and how it's collected and all that kind of stuff is open so that people can scrutinize it and look and say, well, if I would have done it, I might have done this differently so that the next study might choose that. And that's how you get better and better science, just so it's open for everybody to look at. So I hope that maybe we can learn some things over time so that we get better at having research that everybody may not agree with the results, but the way the results were arrived at is open for people to make choices about. So I hope we can get there with all of these kinds of things in the future.
Chair Clem, Representative Roblin, we appreciate that. That is our concern. We hear this with DEQ fees and sometimes there's an overbalance there between who they're administering, who they're regulating, and the fees that are being paid. We hear that at the local government level when fees are being paid at the permit level and whether or not. And it's a public distrust, and we don't need public distrust here, and that's a concern of the League. It doesn't mean that it's a wrong thing, that, in fact, we can have very open, good things happening. But, in fact, it's the perception, and we need to have people believe that government is working on behalf of them.
Sam Shopper?
Thank you. Yes, I wish I were as optimistic as you and my friend here about getting rid of public distrust. I'm not. And I'm not all that optimistic about objective science either. Actually, my question is in reverse. Mr. Chair, these amendments just came out yesterday. I would really appreciate hearing from the people that, for one thing, we have an agency that regulates these folks already. I think that that's where this stuff should stay. But I would also request, Mr. Chair, with your indulgence, I would like to hear what I have not heard from the industry that we're going to be imposing these fees on. I would like to hear what they have to say about this amendment, if you would indulge me.
Kevin? And Mr. Chair, Representative Shoffler, they are not being imposed. This is an opportunity for them to choose to provide this money.
Well, they can. Thank you for that, but they can speak for themselves.
Yep.
And colleagues, it'll refresh us all. We heard about the amendments the other night, but it'll help us all to hear about them again, I think, just one more time.
Mr. Chair, my name's Rich Angstrom, and I'm the president of the Oregon Concrete Aggregate Producers Association. To the amendments themselves, Section 1 amendment allows the department to receive basically third-party monies in order to do these studies. That could even be the League of Women Voters. It could be the Farm Bureau. It could be OCAPA. It could be whoever wants to participate. And a lot of times these things are partnerships. And in this case, that's kind of the backdrop for all of this. On page 2, the next amendment adds a Section D, and it allows the department by rule, and it's a may, they may by rule assess, create a fee for commercial sand and gravel, a volume-based fee to help pay for the program. That is something the industry supports. We're doing it because we're trying to keep those guys alive and realize that there's budget issues and we need attention from the agencies to make sure the work gets done in order to keep the industry alive. There's some minor changes that LC put in on rules. I haven't even looked at the riprap one. It looks like that's just a house cleaning bill he put in here. On page 4, section 3, this one is the one that allows the department itself, discretionary, to use some of the royalty dollars that they generate off of our the monies that we pay them to put back in for these studies if they so choose, and it would be the discretion of the land board and the director in that case. Section 4 is really what the amendments were about. We had to get that kind of in order, working with the various state agencies, and basically it puts the Department of State Lands in charge of talking with DOGAMI and DEQ about coming up with a single permitting process instead of having multiple permits, get the state agencies on one page and communicating about what we need to do to protect the environment. And it builds in reporting periods to any interim committee and that you guys might have so that we keep things on track. Those are the amendments.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is that?
Representative Wingard.
Rich, help me understand back on page 2. Are we currently not charging a volume-based fee?
We are, but it's a scale, and it's a very tiny amount of money. And $125, I think. Let's see, what's the number here? $125 for 3,000 cubic yards or less. $250 for 10,000 cubic yards or less, or $375 for 10,000 cubic yards or more, doesn't even get you in the front door as far as being able to get some work done and having agency staff, do the work that's necessary.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up, Mr. Winger.
So help me understand why we're not deleting the other provisions then. It sounds to me like you feel that these fees don't do it and you want to turn it over to the department to establish the fees by rule. So why do we have to keep the specific amounts here that are in the sections, C and B and A?
You're right on point, and I'm going to turn this part over to the department.
Chair Clem, members of the committee, Kevin Moynihan, Assistant Director, Department of State Lands. The fees that are in the statute have been in there for years. There are some commercial removal operations that are not sand and gravel related. Therefore, that particular fee amount would remain in there. And then separately for the sand and gravel operations, there would be this provision that would allow for an increased fee for those operators.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Can you, thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you address the fact that we didn't historically have a requirement for the operators, especially on streams, to do any type of studies about how much recruitment was coming down and why we are now doing that?
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Krieger. In 1996, there were various studies that were done and have been done over time. This is around the country. This is an escalating issue, and not just in Oregon. But in 1996, when we did the Oregon plan, OCAPA worked with the governor's office, Kitzhoffer at that time, and NOAA, and it was determined that what was needed on the in-water gravel removal was a sediment transport study, so we knew what the recruitment was on the river. And the agreement coming out of the Oregon plan, which is still the basis of what we're talking about today, now it's just, we got to figure out how to pay for it because it's pretty expensive, is these sediment transport studies. That was in the Oregon plan as a requirement, and as we've been working on these issues since, this is how it keeps we keeps coming back to this, and this is what this bill's about, is kind of address that. So that's the history. Between 1996 and now, a lot of history has happened, obviously, but it really comes down to if we don't do these studies and we don't figure out what the recruitment's, the federal government will not know. And is kind of basically running blind on the science about what the gravel supplies are on the river, and they're not willing to free up on the permits. And in essence, as you know, down in your county, the Corps has denied all of them because of that. And so, they all went to litigation, and this group was formed because of that litigation. And it was it basically came to the point that this is the work that we have to do as an industry and as a partnership, really, in order to move these permits forward.
And the outcome of those studies will tell us what the transport that's taking place, because they do it annually, and based off of that, will be the permits will be given out, what could be taken out of that, that stream based on that recruitment, not what they need.
That's right. And Chair, Vice Chair Krieger, these studies are being done by USGS, and in fact, there was quite a level of distrust amongst the parties, NOAA, industry, and others. And so when we got together, what we agreed to is USGS was the neutral body, and the Corps so far has funded most of these studies. And they're coming in phases. And so the first phase was basically to see if the rivers were accreting, or they were degrading, or they were in some level of equilibrium. And the phase one of the studies is a kind of a quick look to see if we can do some temporary permitting. The second phase is very extensive studies that USGS is looking at, and they're really just building models for each river system. The lady from League of Women Voters said it pretty well. Each river system is very different, and each system is going to have its own model. So you got to go river by river in order to build those models. And once those models are built, they're not good forever. I mean, what the result is, let me say it this way, what the result of the first data they plug in isn't going to be, carried through. It takes an annual review of those. You got to implement new information each year into the models, and that tells you what the river did from year to year. And then permit decisions could be based off of that. I mean, it's pretty heavy science associated with this. And that's what these fees will cover.
Representative Krieger.
One last one. And we have catastrophic flood events that happen over time, which I've seen gravel bars on the road over 1 week go up 10 feet for a mile. And so those, how do you model those in? Are you developing a way of modeling that in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what will happen is there's going to be years of low flow where you have, basically a two-year flood. There could be a year that you have a 100-year flood, right? And so it's going to move different amounts of sediment. And each river is going to respond differently to those flood events. And what these models by each river system will do will tell you how much material is moved in the river system and how much we'll be able to remove for commercial purposes. This is a very good idea, and it's been taking a lot of more brainy people than myself. I won't speak for the rest of us here, but there's quite a body of tech guys working on this.
Representative Roblin.
I just want to thank the people for this bill. My son-in-law is just finishing his doctorate in geomorphology. His doctoral thesis is on the distribution of suspended solids in the Sacramento River Delta. It is all about this idea. And so he's one of those people that, with this kind of stuff happening on a regular basis, there probably will be opportunities for him when he gets out of college. And does his dissertation at the end of the year here. Actually, I can't yet. He's not actually doing this yet, but...
The class and in geomorphologist is huge.
Well, actually, it's fairly small. Sadly, it is fairly small.
Whose son isn't getting a degree in that?
It's growing. Yeah,
okay. I think we've said our piece on this.
Mr. Chair, I just want to say one last thing. Thank you for the conversation, and thank all of you for the thoughtful comments that were made. I really do appreciate the fact that we've had a really good conversation about this issue. It is very important.
Thank you very much.
But it's also important.
See any problem with the rules suspension? I don't see any problem suspending the rules. We don't have a fiscal back, but it's going to Ways and Means anyway.
Right. This is the kind we should do it for.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move that the rule to be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2929 without the fiscal revenue impact statement being available for review.
Representative Krieger moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2929 without the fiscal revenue impact statement being available for review. Those of the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2929 without the fiscal revenue impact statement being available for review will say aye. Those opposed I remind you, this has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means on it.
Representative Byer?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Shoffler?
Aye.
Representative Winters?
Aye.
Vice Chair Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Flynn?
Aye. Rules are suspended.
And we've already done this?
No.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the Dash 3 amendments into House Bill 2929.
Representative Krieger moves the Dash 3 amendments dated 4/27/09 be adopted into House Bill 2929. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2929 as amended to the floor with the due pass and that it be sent to Joint Ways and Means.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2929 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and to Joint Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion? Not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Byer?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Shoffler?
Aye.
Representative Winger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Chair
Klein? Aye. Motion passes. Bill sent to Ways and Means.
With that,
we'll adjourn our meeting of the House Ag Natural Resources and Rural Communities, and I will see folks tonight.
Now, I have.